Ron Van Dam, a man, a microphone, and a complete lack of conversational filters. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
You're welcome.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you, Ron. You're welcome. Well, I guess it's well known now that my real name is not Ron Van Dam. It's Becky. Yeah, Becky Conowitz, my real name. But I changed it to Ron Van Dam because I thought it would work better. Sometimes I'll be walking down the street and I'll hear somebody behind me going, Becky Conowitz? And I'll turn around and then I realize, that was my name, but it isn't anymore. The only people that know my real name is Becky Conowitz are people who went to kindergarten with me. So, good to see you again. The only reason I changed my name from Becky Conowitz to Ron Van Dam is because I thought Becky Conowitz was a bit too feminine for me, so it wasn't for show business reasons at all. Although it does still say Becky Conowitz on my driver's license, I never had that changed for some reason. And they spell Conowitz wrong. Although I think I should have stuck with Becky Conowitz, it would have been a bit more popular. And also getting the BeckyConowitz.com website would have been easier for domain purposes. But alas, I no longer am Becky Conowitz. I am Ron Van Dam, and it is a pleasure to meet your acquaintance. Who is your acquaintance? Introduce me to your acquaintance. All right, that's enough theme music. I've had it. I've had enough of that theme music stuff. How about you? I have to give a shout out right now, and I don't have to, but I want to. Yeah, Donald Trump is being arraigned today. Yes, it's going to arraign out for him. I don't know what Donald Trump's calendar is like, but I'm sure it's quite interesting for today. He's going to be arraigned at 4 o'clock at a D.C. court. Which is not the kind of place you want to be arraigned at, believe me. Last place, kind of, bad, not good. Wonder what his calendar looks like. 12 o'clock, lunch at McDonald's. 2 o'clock, straighten out the bathroom down at Mar-a-Lago. Donald, do you want to go out for cocktails at 4? No, I have to be arraigned at 4. How long do you think that'll take? Not long. But I do have to be arraigned. I have to show up. If I don't, I think then they take points away on my auto insurance or something. Does Donald Trump even have a car? Or just a license to motorcade? I'm not of that ilk, of that world, so I have no idea how that works. But Donald's being arraigned at 4 o'clock. Or maybe 4:05, I don't know. And it will be the worst day of his life. I guarantee you that, Don. It's going to be the worst day of your life. And here's the thing, Donald. Whatever they told you in that indictment, in that 45-page indictment report thing. Whatever's in there is only the tip of that proverbial iceberg. Your Titanic is about to hit an iceberg like you couldn't even imagine. They've got so much stuff on you. Let me tell you, Donald, in this case, you don't get indicted unless they know that there's no question that you're going to lose. I mean, even if there was a speck of possibility that you had a defense here, they would have addressed it 30 times millions over. And that's not even a real number. Donald, to the wall, you have been screwed. But thank you, because you have compared yourself to Jesus. And I appreciate that, Donald. I really do. I don't know why, but I think I do. Because you have thrusted yourself, like Jesus did, in order to atone for all of our sins, although you don't admit to any of the sins yourself. But you are taking the brunt of this legal justice system in order to protect us. That is also an incredibly stupid defense. But I do have to thank you, Donald, and I never have before, but I do have to thank you, because you have mentioned just a couple of days ago this particular fact in your head. Let's listen to it.
Essentially, I'm being indicted for you.
Thank you. I never thanked you before, but I didn't know you were being indicted for me. I didn't do anything wrong, certainly not to the level that you did, Benedict Arnold. So that I don't get indicted, you will be getting indicted. Thank you. I have to say thank you. I'll send you a thank you card.
Essentially, I'm being indicted for you.
Good. Appreciate it. All right. Why don't you be indicted for Hunter Biden? I mean, come on, Donald. Trying to fraudulently win an election, taking away the power of my vote, is a little more significant than anything else. You see, Don, there's this thing called democracy. That's what the country runs on here. You got to respect it, babe. You've got to respect it. As president, you gave up yourself for the country and democracy, not for absolute dictatorship power. You had that wrong, Don. Anyway, there is so much to this. I don't want to go through it. I'm not a political show. All I'm telling you is, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or any human being in this country, you should understand that you better protect this democracy. Otherwise, I don't even know the response to that. I did not raise my hand and say, let's do a dictatorship now. I didn't do that. I didn't raise my hand for that one. When I went into the voting booth, I expected that that would be counted equivalently. And also, Donald, man, they got so much on you. They got so much on you, Don. It's not a witch hunt. You did this stuff.
Essentially, I'm being indicted for you.
All right, cool. Anyway, fine. What day of the week is this? Quick. Sunday. Yes, that's right. No, it's not. It's Thursday. This is August 3rd. It's the 3rd August day. This is supposed to be a very hot, uncomfortable month. I can't stand it anymore. I don't even go outside. I don't even go outside. I make believe it's COVID. I just stay inside. I have air conditioning. It's costing me a fortune, but I have it. Right now it's working, so that's good. Going outside, man, too hot, too humid. Just, and there's people out. Have you noticed there's people outside? Yeah. They're like walking around, hanging out, and making a lot of noise. Have you noticed that? What's with this people thing all of a sudden? Too many people on this planet. Too many people everywhere. I mean, I went to the mall yesterday because I had to pick up a can of tuna fish. That's where I like to get my tuna fish, at the mall. Tuna Fish R Us. And I went in there, and in the mall, there were a lot of people in there. There were a lot of people walking in the mall, and I was surrounded by people. And I think half of them knew my real name was Becky, so that kind of intimidated me, because that's supposed to be a secret. Yeah, I don't like a lot of people around me. Eesh, eesh, eesh. Ah. Had to make an appointment with my dentist yesterday. That was not a pleasant experience at all. Yeah, when I make an appointment with my dentist, I'm admitting that there's something wrong with my teeth. There always is. I mean, they're fine. They're all there and everything. But apparently when I go to the dentist, I get shamed. You're not taking care of your teeth, Ron. What are you, my mother? Someone's paying you to have my teeth maintained. I think it's me, because I don't have dental insurance. So why don't you just shut up and clean my teeth and stop with your editorial about my teeth. Ron, how are you doing? Are you flossing? Why don't you ask me how many drinks I have a week and do I have sex continually? I mean, it's none of your freaking business. These aren't your teeth. They're mine. We're not taking care of our teeth, are we, Ron? Oh, we have teeth together? I didn't know that. I didn't know you that well. Somehow we both have teeth and we're taking care of the same teeth. What are we, married, and I'm taking care of your children, and we have joint custody of the teeth? What are you talking about? Ron, you got to take care of your gums. Oh, great. I thought it was just my teeth. Now I got to take care of my gums. This is a lot. This is a lot. Aren't I paying you to shut up and just to do things? You put like construction cones and tubes and cotton in my mouth, and I can't talk. You shut me up pretty well, but for some reason, you don't shut up. Let's put some tubes and some cotton in your mouth. Just do your work. Stop telling me about things. I don't need your advice. You're not my tooth psychologist. And whatever happened to laughing gas? Well, Ron, we're just cleaning your teeth. I want to laugh. Put it on the bill. I don't care. How much can it be for you to shove some gas in my mouth to make me happy? How much can that cost? Take a helium balloon, change my voice. That's free. How much can it cost for you to put some type of vapor in my system and make me a little giddy? Giddy is a word that really only refers to schoolgirls. Not to me. That's supposed to refer to me as giddy. Yeah, give me some laughing gas. I don't even care. I mean, let me just stop by every once in a while and get some. I mean, you don't even have to work on my teeth. Just let me stop by and give me a hit. I want to find everything funny. Here's a better idea. Everybody that listens to my show should have laughing gas. I would be enormously successful. Wouldn't have had to change my name to Ron from Becky. All my audiences should be piped into the auditorium when I do the stand-up comedy thing, which I don't really do anymore. I mean, seriously, man. Let's do it. Gas up my audience. I don't know if it's legal. I don't think Bill Cosby, it didn't work for him. And it wasn't even laughing gas, and it wasn't even funny. Yeah, but let's do that. So, yeah, so I made the appointment with the dentist, and they're going to call me 2 days before the appointment, 1 day before the appointment, 1 hour before the appointment, 2 minutes before the appointment. They will constantly remind me that I should show up. And if I don't, for some reason, I could be charged with what, assault? Or charging you for not showing up. Oh, Okay. Have I been indicted too? Hey, if you want to indict me, call Donald Trump. He's getting indicted for me. He said that in a statement. Yeah. Yeah. And he says every time, Donald also says every time he's indicted, it's a feather in his cap. Well, you're going to have quite a good sized cap with a lot of feathers in it. Yeah. So the dentist thing. Yeah. And when I go to the dentist, what do you do before you go to the dentist? Raise your hand. Answer my question. Shut up. Listen, don't shut up. Answer my question. What do you do before you go to the dentist? Everybody does the same thing. We brush our teeth. Why? You're going into the dentist for them to clean your teeth. Why would you brush it before you go? For one reason and one reason only. Because you don't want to be shamed by those dental people. You want your breath to smell good. You want your teeth to be as white as possible so that they don't put you down. It's awful. Why do we do that? We are so funny. I do the same thing, man. I brush my teeth. I floss. I use stuff on my teeth that I've never used before just so the dentist can think that I'm doing something about my teeth when, of course, it's just a sham and a scam because they're going to do all the stuff on my teeth anyway, and I'm paying big bucks for it. So why would I even bother? As a matter of fact, why should I even brush my teeth like days before the appointment? Why would I even bother? They're going to clean them anyway. They're just going to yell at me anyway. I have a house cleaner. There are people that come over and they clean my house. They do it once a month because I can't afford it any more than that, and I'm also not that sloppy. Why do I have people cleaning my house? Because I've cleaned my house all of my life, okay? And there comes a point in your life where you say, screw it, I'm not doing this anymore. And I don't eat for a week so I can save enough money to pay for them to clean my house once a month. And they don't really clean the whole house or anything like that. They just, you know, cosmetically they take care of it. But what do I do before they show up to clean my house? I clean my house because I don't want to be embarrassed that I'm a freaking slob. And I'm not, but in my mind, I clean the bathroom because I don't want them to think that I am a shabby, disgusting person that doesn't clean the toilet, doesn't scrub down the sink area with all the germs that I've created. I mean, I clean the toilet before they come because I don't want them to come and say, whoa, this guy is a pig. I don't want that kind of, no, you're not saying that about me. When the cleaners come, I want them to say, hey, what are we doing here? This place is so clean. That's what I want. So I brush my teeth before I go to the dentist, and I straighten out my house before the cleaners come over. That's what we do. A lot of people won't have no visitors to their house because then they have to straighten up, and that's not the way we live, right? We don't do that. Joe and his wife, Judy, are coming over. All right, we've got to straighten up. Why? This is the way we live. No, but people can't know that. The people can't know that we're slobs. If Joe and Judy come over, it would be embarrassing. Let's pick up, let's get things organized. They're coming over in about an hour. Come on, drop what you're doing. Judy and Joe are coming over. I do not want them to see the way that we actually live. That would be horrendous. But we do live like this. But no one has to know that. Just like no one has to know that your real name is Becky. Notice how I changed my voice. That's the wife's voice, by the way. That's how I do my female voices. I put a little bit of a higher spin on it. Still sounds like a guy, but it's not. It's really portraying a female. All right, I have a guest coming up momentarily, but before that occurs, we do have to take a quick commercial break. And goes a little something like this.
Do you throw boring parties? Do your guests stand about with tepid drinks in their hands, vapidly striving for anything interesting to say to anyone? Do they glance at their watches around 9 p.m. and say, oh, look at the time? Your parties need something, and you know it. Your parties need me, Thompson St. Thomas Fancy Bastard. For a gentlemanly, prearranged fee, I will arrive fashionably late to your party, bringing with me that dash of irresistible British charm and a soupçon of the joie de vivre of the French. Soon I'll have your guests regaled with stories of my vacation villa in Saint-Tropez, my zany youthful adventures in boys' school, and that one time I met the prince. Quite a story. For an extra fee, I could be the cheeky one, telling blue jokes and winking roguishly at all the girls. Got a piano? I've got a repertoire. Because what English gent can't just sit down at the Ivories and knock out everything from a raucous pub tune to a bit of Gershwin? I know I can. Because I'm Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. And I'll see you at your next party. What time shall I arrive?
Hi, Ron.
Good morning, everybody. This is Ann Harkins and Kathleen Combs. Ann is President and CEO of National Crime Prevention Council. Kathleen Combs is Senior Director and Chairperson of Canon's Anti-Counterfeiting Committee. It's great to have you both here. My titles are not as extensive as yours, so I turn to you. We talk on the show a lot about counterfeit products and telemarketers and people being scammed. So this is right up our alley here today. What types of counterfeit products are we talking about?
Well, from Canon's perspective, all kinds of products are counterfeited in our space. However, for our chief concern is around safety, and those involve counterfeits that are power accessories. Camera batteries, chargers, and even external flash units are the types of items that we've come across through our various operations that have been copied and sold deceptively as real.
When they're sold, are they using brand name labels?
Absolutely. That really is what defines a counterfeit. It's the illegal use of a trademark. And I think that, you know, the issue is even broader than that, though. Not just the brand labels are copied, but even industry standard labels are copied, such as Underwriters Laboratories, and quite a few different types of items that are counterfeited. But with power accessories, there's a particular danger that we want folks to know about.
Okay. Let me ask a couple of obvious questions. Is it illegal to do that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's completely illegal to do that from the intellectual property perspective. But these items are not following important safety standards in their manufacturing process. And that is also a serious concern.
Now,
illegal to counterfeit or pirate products.
Yeah.
But the sale of these products is funding international organized crime and gangs who are engaged in other criminal activity like human trafficking, child labor, gun violence.
Yeah.
So you really have to think about the investment that legitimate companies are making in research and development and quality control compared to counterfeiters who simply don't care.
But now one would figure if you can actually get the product in your hand, then it must be traced to some source, so why aren't these people's butts in jail and stuff like that? I mean, how does it continue? Is it difficult to stop?
It's very difficult to stop. First of all, we should point out that not only are several people's butts in jail, but the number of successful investigations and prosecutions has been increasing over the last 20 years, but particularly in the last few years. So seizures are up and prosecutions are up, jail sentences are up. But think about how easy it is to create a fly-by-night manufacturing center in a house, in a garage, in a vacant parking lot, and create these materials. They're cheap. You get them in and out very quickly, and the counterfeiters don't care what they're selling. It could be cell phones this week, camera parts next week, pharmaceuticals the week after that. They simply don't care. They just want to make the money as cheaply and quickly as they can.
How are most of these counterfeit items obtained by the public? Is it through internet sales, through on-the-street vendors? How does this happen?
All of the above, but we're particularly concerned about online sales.
Yeah, because online's hard to tag. Unfortunately, the wonderful thing about online is it's full of information and great stuff. It's also created a web of evil that we really can't battle that well.
Well, that's very true. And furthermore, you know, it's easy to shut down one site and pop up as a completely different location with a different name.
Yeah.
And, you know, even registered businesses can change very, very quickly in that manner.
So how do I know if I'm buying something counterfeit or not in that case?
Well, the truth of the matter is it's very hard to detect a counterfeit.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult to avoid counterfeits if you're trying to do so by looking at the item itself, because often they're very sophisticated. But there are a few simple ways that we feel are great ways to avoid counterfeits.
Uh-huh.
And that's primarily to shop smartly. Consumers should be aware of where they're making their purchases. They should stick to reputable sources, like authorized dealers or even the manufacturer. And they should also pay attention to pricing. That's usually a big red flag. The counterfeiters are saving a ton of money in the production process because they're avoiding lots of details, and that makes it easy for them to drop the price and sell it very, very inexpensively.
Oh, the inexpensive price is indeed the bait on the hook. There's no question about it. But if I go through a reputable, like an Amazon, or directly to a manufacturer like Canon, then I'm good. What about the wholesalers like an Amazon or some of these other sites that are reputable? Could they by mistake be representing counterfeit manufacturing?
You know, it's possible, and we're working very hard to connect with retailers at all levels, to tighten up our processes and our supply chains so that we can make sure that all of the items that are being provided in a retail setting online are safe.
Are distributors responsible for distributing something that may be counterfeit that they weren't aware of, yet they were the distributors, they were the end result sales vehicle? Are they responsible for that?
That would probably vary with state law.
I see. Okay. All right. So we just have to be really, really careful. And, you know, we're smart people, the three of us, and, of course, all of my listeners. But I fear for seniors who might not be too aware of what's going on, young kids who just see a good price and want to go with it. I fear for people that don't know, and I guess those are the people that get smacked with this stuff.
Anybody can get smacked with this stuff.
Yeah, well.
Seniors are susceptible in no small measure because they're too nice.
Yeah.
We remind seniors if someone can't put it in writing, then don't buy it. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And that it's okay to hang up the phone on telemarketers because
I know.
One of the susceptibilities for seniors in particular is that they think they have to listen and be nice.
I know, because we all think it's some poor person who's just getting minimum wage and just trying to make a living, but they're there to get you. And it's a nasty world we live in, I know, but you got to be smart about it. How can we get more information?
You can check things out at our website at the National Crime Prevention Council, the home of McGruff the Crime Dog.
Yes.
ncpc.org/stopfakes.
Great. Important information. Thank you to the both of you for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, oh my God, I wish you peace. We'll be right back.